What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and yes, it is the weekend edition of Video Game Bang, lovingly known as the Weekend Bang, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffee. Gamersups GG, it's the best energy drink, period. Go there and use the code VGB and save yourself 10%. That's the facts. And we're also now brought to you by, unofficially, Shadow PC Gaming Thing. Wow, great week. Thank you so much, Emma, for being here. Wow.
Hello, hello.
I royally, like, was bad. I was very bad. I'm sorry, I apologize.
It's okay.
Well, she was probably at home, comfortable, ready to, you know, knock back a few wines, and then, you know, play some video games maybe. Who knows? Play with your dog. And then last minute we call because terrible miscommunication on my part, but you're here.
Sorry. I was like sitting in my pajamas in front of my computer where I'd been for 3 hours, and Webb was like, hey, can you come down? And I was like, I mean, I can.
I mean, there's a lot going on in your life. I'm surprised you were able to walk away. I mean, your Minecraft addiction seems to have continued.
You know, the words that you say sound nice, but your tone. I don't know about it.
I mean, RTX is happening, so you're probably glued to your Twitter. I mean, there's
a little bit.
There's a lot. This is Emma's weekend.
It is. Except for the fact that I'm not there. Thanks for bringing it up.
Sorry. He's back as always. You see, he has a beautiful hat on. We are actually wearing matching hats. See that? That's for the chat right there.
I'm the only one without a hat.
David Webb, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, sir. Just got done playing Overwatch on my Mac, so it's pretty dope.
How did you do that?
This little thing called Shadow. It's a VM PC gaming computer that you.
We're just gonna pretend we know what it is, but we'll get into it here in a minute. And then also rounding out the cast. Our resident freestyle rapper, Curtis.
Hey, man. Am I going to get a chance tonight? Can I audition tonight?
I think so.
We do raps?
We got to save something for the after show, but you can do a few raps for everybody if you want in the after show.
All right, but people, I'm going to do raps for you.
So let's just get started with the real stuff. David Webb and I got invited to a party by the good folks at Shadow. And I don't know, is it like Shadow GG, Shadow PCs? I don't even know what you call it.
I think it's just Shadow. They have something called a Shadow Box.
Okay.
But that's like a product with the company Shadow.
So basically what it is it's cloud computing. And we knew that going into it. We were roughly idea. And then we showed up. It was in the Bay Area. And the guest list was eclectic.
It was different. There were people there that, like, you had from, like, VC, like investors. They were dressed in, like, suits to, like, you know, Jeff that knows a guy who knows a guy that works at Shadow.
Yeah.
Like, it was anywhere in between. And then you had, like, popular streamers. And then you had, like, just a bunch of different influencers. Like, it was crazy. It was weird.
Yeah, some of the larger people there were like Zombie Unicorn. I don't know. She's a popular streamer from Australia, does IRL stuff. She was there. Fafsvi, I think, is her name.
Yeah,
it was insane.
Yeah, one of the team managers from Dignitas.
Yeah,
so team manager.
There was a lot of esports guys there. It was amazing. So, as we were there, Webb went Super Saiyan, Kaioken 10 times 10 on his networking abilities. Like, I was drunk fairly early, and he hard carried through that whole thing. And he got like people downloading the show, and he's got big popular Twitch people like all locked up to be on the show in the next couple months.
Hey.
And then I get a text message as I'm like, the world is spinning outside for me. I get a text message that says, come in here. And then he's like, there's a speakeasy. There's a speakeasy at the party. And then our boy, it was Dave. He was like,
yeah,
I heard there's a speakeasy. And then David's like, oh, you mean that curtain over there? It was pretty obvious. It was like broad daylight. There it is. But David Webb talks us into there, gets us in there. We go to the back and he like shuffles me off to some dude who sits me down in a booth, and I'm just like, what's going on, man? And then he signs me up. We both, he's next to me helping me out. And then they log us into these computers. They like we download Overwatch in a minute and a half and start playing it off of their Chromebook.
Yeah.
You know, like so we're playing like legit Overwatch max settings on a Chromebook, and I don't know what the hell's happening. But by the time we get up to leave, I was like, so am I like on a free trial? Do I gotta cancel this thing? And the guy's like, no, man, this is you got this thing. Like you have accounts now until whenever we say you don't.
Yeah.
So I don't know what David did in between there, but we're both going to completely sell out for the Shadow. But it is really cool.
It's awesome.
It is actually pretty dope. So basically, it's hard to explain, but like they basically gave us computers that we will never see or touch. They just exist out there in the cloud.
Yeah.
It's got a graphics card. It's got a motherboard. It's got an operating system. It just exists out in the planes of existence. And in order for us to access it, we just have to download the Shadow app and we can put it on anything. So I'm using my Surface Tablet 1, which is a billion years old. It can barely do anything, but it can get just enough internet connection to look into a window to act as a monitor for my internet computer.
Interesting.
And the internet computer has a billion upload and a billion download. But as long as I have enough to connect to that, I can play video games off it for lag free. So I was playing Dragon Ball Z, but this is my monitor now, and it's just looking into some cloud thing. It's blows my mind.
Yeah,
I have no idea insane. How this
it's
stuff
like
works.
On the surface level, I understand it and what's going on, and then below that, it's just like that GIF of like the one with the like the math equations.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what?
Trying to process this whole thing. I'm still trying to think of how it can help the show, because like now think of streaming. Like, do you ever stream on the same PC you play your games?
Yes.
And you know how you take like frame drops and stuff like that? So this would take the load off of your computer. So you're playing Overwatch through your cloud computer and your OBS is pointed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And your computer is not processing the graphics for that game or doing anything. It's
Can you run different programs or is it just gaming?
No, you can run anything. It's a
full like if I had my shitty old laptop that I couldn't stream anything off of because I couldn't run OBS and I couldn't run the capture card, I could just put all that on the chat. Oh, that's Where was this 6 months ago?
I mean, it didn't exist. It literally didn't exist. Like, that's the thing. This company comes from Europe, I believe, where it's already a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And their party here was to tell everybody that they're coming to America. They've been here in California for a little while, but now by the end of the year, they'll be on the East Coast and all throughout in between.
That's and, like, sick. You don't get, like, it's not like some, like, kind of mid-range equipment that you're dialing into. You're getting the equivalent of a GTX 1080. You got 12 gigs of RAM, the equivalent of like an i7 processor, and then like a 250 gig hard drive.
That's all solid. Better than what I have.
Like, wow, that's incredible. And then like to kind of put it in perspective for like numbers, so my machine at home, I have a 970, a mid-range i5, probably like 8, maybe 12 gigs of RAM, I can't remember, and running like Overwatch, OBS, Streamlabs chat plus a browser window, and if I want music, Spotify, I'm hitting about 70% CPU usage. If I take away Overwatch and I run Overwatch on Shadow and it's a screen capture, I'm down to 25% CPU
that's ridiculous.
Usage. Like, it's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, this was it was an amazing party. They really know how to throw an event. Props to the good people that worked there, Marcella and the crew, who just like ran a perfectly smooth event. I had no problems or issues whatsoever, like transportation. They gave us a hotel.
Yeah,
that's how dope it was. We drove down there, we had a hotel ready, so we had a safe place to crash. It was walking distance basically from the little after party.
Mm-hmm.
They had a photo booth, there was people gaming all over the place, and then it was just cool meeting those people. Like, we met a guy named Data Dave,
yeah,
who I guess is a partnered guy. He does Pokemon, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's rolling with the Caljeet crew, so we got to meet the Caljeet and Modest Merrill, the leaders of NorCal Casters and Twitch Kittens.
Yeah.
And great experience, man, with those guys. And then Zombie Unicorn was like legit. Like, we spent a good long while just learning, picking her brain. We learned so much about Twitch.
So much.
Crazy. You should have came, Emma. You blew it.
Yeah, I was happy to let you guys go have the fun and then come back and tell me all about it.
Next time you can take my place because I'm not drinking ever again.
That's a lie.
He says that every time we go somewhere.
That's a lie.
Also, man, we got a new technological setup here. So if you don't come check out the stream on twitch.tv, you're missing out, because now we're using the Elgato Stream Deck. So we have all new sounds and noises and animations and stuff for the people who are watching live. So thank you. We see those coming in. It's amazing. Technology. I'm like in this new revitalization where I just want to get up and start experiencing technology because I think I'm getting old.
You're only as old as you feel, Corey.
I feel dirt old right now.
Then you're old, Corey.
Yeah. So what else we got? What's going on in the world, guys?
Is that the segue to me?
Is that a segue to me? I was gonna shout RTX from the rooftops, but I was like, I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if you guys want to start
there. No, go for it. Go for it. You gotta shout it though. You gotta shout it though.
So RTX is going on.
There it is.
Let's go. Let's go.
RTX is this weekend. For those of you that are aware of me and my obsession with Rooster Teeth, you're not surprised that it's what I want to talk about today. And Corey made the mistake of letting me put it on the show notes.
Hey, so I want one thing I'm a fan of, Emma. It's passion. And I like when you get passionate on the show. So I will omit this RTX thing to you.
Well, thank you. So we'll just talk real quick about some announcements generally that we've been getting as far as like their shows and stuff. So we got a release date for the sixth season of Ruby. We're on season six of Ruby.
Hey,
that's insane, because it feels like just yesterday that they announced it and like everyone was talking about it, and then here it is like a billion years later and everyone's still talking about it.
We were all looking at the internet like, what the fuck is Ruby?
Yeah, exactly.
What is
I definitely didn't think it would be this popular or last this long, to be honest. I was like, I'll be happy if we get two seasons out of it.
Mm-hmm. So season six will premiere on roosterteeth.com on October 27th. I believe that's for first members, so it might be the next day for everybody else.
You know what's really crazy is, like, you were not looking at notes when you were popping off these dates and stuff. Like, it sounds like you're reading because of, like, how much
it.
You... This is, like, in your brain.
I got it.
Holy
I'm
shit.
Hype. I was looking at this shit all day. October 27th for first members, I believe. For the sixth season of Ruby, there is a synopsis online for the season. If you would like to look at it, I won't read it off because I don't know if anybody's caught up. Genlock is going to come out January 2019. They put out a teaser, little teaser trailer for that. And I was talking with Curtis earlier about this. Like, it's so crazy because I've been watching Rooster Teeth for like 13 years now. Wow. Like, it's been a while.
More than half your life?
Yes, it is.
So this is a part of this is a part of your DNA.
It is.
That's weird. That's weird.
I know.
I mean,
and I love it.
It's weird in a few ways. It makes me feel even older.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
But damn. All right. Continue, please.
Oh yeah. So Genlock is their new animated series, exoskeleton, big robot suits kind of stuff.
Mech.
With Michael B. Jordan, David Tennant, Dakota Fanning.
It's
like all these fucking giant celebrities.
In little tiny Rooster Teeth's production.
Not so tiny anymore.
Jeez. Yeah.
They have well over 100 people working at their company now, as far as I know.
They're a studio?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, damn. I think because of how lively and like, you know, millennial you can say that their company is, their brand is.
Yeah.
I don't put them on the same footing as like Lionsgate or something. But
right.
But the reality is that if they're pulling David Tennant and Michael B. Jordan right now.
Yeah.
They're like, up there.
At the
yeah.
peak of their yep. popularity, that these guys are legitimate producers.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is not just Rooster Teeth making, you know, videos in their basement like I imagined back
right.
in the
like,
day.
Well, how it started. They yeah. started in Bernie's spare bedroom.
Yeah, the reticle was still on the Halo because, you know, they had to work around that. And they got so popular that I remember when the story came out that the developers at Bungie gave them a special version of the game
mm-hmm.
where they can get rid of, like, the reticle and stuff so they can keep producing their stuff.
And
that's
they're all
awesome.
They're all in the games, too. Like, their voices are in Halo games.
Are they?
I think starting with Halo 3, they started putting cameos of them in the games.
I would love to see the pocket reality where Rooster Teeth never happened. You know,
I don't want to see that.
I think only because...
You want to see what happened to Halo?
Yeah.
It's a dark.
I
want to
see if Halo is less popular because really they dominated like Halo. And that's why the developer clung to them so much. They're bringing all this attention to their game.
They are so old. So they predate YouTube. So they had, I want to say it was season one or two, they had like a CD that was an insert in PC Gamer magazine. And wow. That was how they were advertising Red versus Blue for a while.
That's holy crazy. Crap. Whoa. It's crazy. On Netflix now, right?
Yes, it yeah. is. It yeah. is on Netflix. To get a little off topic, so they've grown so much, and I've, you know, watched them grow to a certain point. And so, like, looking at a video that I know is Rooster Teeth and hearing David Tennant's voice, I was just like, I'm going to cry. I'm going to have a moment right now. Like, this is crazy.
It came up.
So that'll premiere, Genlock will premiere January 2019, roosterteeth.com. That's their new show. And then they have a movie. Their next movie that they made is called Bloodfest, a horror comedy. That comes out August 31st. Which is my birthday. I don't want to say that they know and they're coming right for me and they're like, hey, we see you.
Isn't that the best? Like, is that better than any gift you'll receive?
Probably.
Because that just happened on my birthday. Mine was July 20th and the new Scars on Broadway album. They haven't put out an album in 7 years. And you're kidding me that it's going to be on my birthday and it came out and I downloaded it. I stayed up till midnight. Yep. Downloaded that shit and then listened to it on repeat. Thing. Yep. It's that crazy. They did it just for me. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, Darren.
They know. So Bloodfest will be online, streaming on August 31st. They are doing theaters one night only through Fathom Events August 14th. So check your local theaters.
She
for
still
that.
Hasn't looked at a piece of paper.
Her phone's off right now.
This is in her brain.
Oh, and it'll be on Blu-ray and DVD October 2nd.
She probably doesn't know David's birthday.
No.
You know David's birthday?
July 12th.
No.
Close.
Fuck. July 14th.
Nope. July. December 23rd.
Wait.
Seriously?
Yeah,
what?
Your birthday's December
23rd?
Yeah.
My birthday's Steven's December
23rd. Birthday. What? Hey!
Let's go.
Festivus.
But she knows every date of a Fathom event.
I know, right? Rooster Teeth. She's like, y'all ain't as important as Rooster Teeth. So.
Well, 13 years compared to David, it's only 2 or 3 or 2 years. I don't know how long it's been.
I was getting, because we were talking about Steven's birthday, and I was getting that, because we talked about that last night.
You weren't going to get it anyways. Steven's you don't have to backtrack. So
that's all right.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just don't care about his birthday.
I just need to get on Rooster Teeth, so she'll remember my birthday.
Yeah, I know.
If I'm on Rooster Teeth, then I'm set.
Remember. Oh my gosh. This is how we see how deep our friendships run. I love it. All right. What else? Do we any more RTX stuff?
I think that's generally it as far as their big announcements. They had some other, you know, various other panels and other Achievement Hunter things, but those were the big upcoming show announcements.
Nice.
So the character you got famous for cosplaying when you did your
let's not use that word.
What?
I'm not famous.
Well,
you know,
but that's your of the things.
My most well known. Most okay. Yes. Thank you.
You're so modest. You had to stop. All right. Wait a minute. No, nobody's famous. Okay, but that was the Ruby character, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you hit the sub button,
oh my God.
We have a new special animation just for all of you, so you can actually see Emma's moment in the sun. Has it already?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it, and it lasts like it loops for like 20 seconds. So if you really just want to see Emma. Getting down to her bad self right there.
What the best part of that is there was no music. There's no anything. That was just me in the middle of a convention floor.
There was no music.
There's no music.
Who filmed it?
At Legend of Micah is his new handle on Twitter and Instagram. He does all those kind of cosplay music dance video kind of stuff.
Okay.
And he was filming a friend of mine, and I was trying to make her laugh so she would like, you know, be excited and lively. And so I was doing that behind him, and he was like, go do that again. I was like, okay.
And you did this, and then it ended up like on Reddit and like all over.
It ends up on Reddit like every once in a while. It's my biggest post on Imgur. It like pops up to the Ruby Reddit every once in a while. RTX Australia used it as like an ad for their ticket sales. They're like, tickets go on sale now. Look how excited we are. And it was my GIF. And I was like,
wow. Wait, and you're not getting paid for none of this?
No.
How do we get you paid?
We could talk about rights.
Yeah, we need to grab some rights.
Matt Hullum, hit me up.
Do you have they ever interacted with it or replied?
I want to say Barbara has. Ray for sure retweeted my X-ray costume that I did of the character that he was. Gavin has interacted with my Vav costume a couple times. I'm all of a nonchalant, but they're like, I know like every single instance in my brain. I'm like, it was this time on this day, and this is what happened.
Yeah, obviously, because you know their Fathom event dates. Jesus.
The wind was blowing from the southeast.
August 14th, Fathom events. Check your local listings.
What else is going on in the news? What do we got?
I was drinking my gamer subs. Daredevil Season 3 coming out.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Hey.
I was actually a little giddy because that's the one that I'm into.
You don't like any of the other ones?
I mean, I like them, but I just don't have time for them, man.
Punisher? No Punisher?
Nah, I watched like two episodes.
I gotta ask, before we talk about anything, are we spoiler okay? Because it's been a very long time since Defenders and everything.
I believe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Cool. Yeah, so, so the whole Daredevil thing was a... As far as I know, there's not a release date, like a for sure release date. When I heard about it earlier this week, there was a like an earnings phone call with the CEO of Netflix and like their board and everything. And he was like listing off, you know, things that they're going to have, basically like what's going to make them revenue in the next quarter. And he was listing off, you know, we're going to get show X, Y, Z, Daredevil season 3, da 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 da. And it was like hidden in there. And everybody was like, wait a minute. Go back to that.
Oh, no.
Because this will be 4 Marvel shows from Netflix in 1 year. Which we've That's not crazy. Had that many before. Because Iron Fist will be next month.
Yep.
I imagine Daredevil will probably be October then. Because I'm wondering if it might take the spot of Stranger Things' release date. Since they're not going until next year.
That makes sense.
Maybe.
But
that's kind of close though. Like month after month. But right? They might be. But they like to set dates and keep them. So that could be it.
Yeah, they said fall. So that's I figure fall. October yeah. or November is probably the last of that.
Likely.
Hey, there we go. We got a sub right there. So if you are watching us live on Twitch, you get to see Emma dancing around and get to hear this beautiful song from DJ Khaled. It's amazing. So with all these Netflix shows coming out, though, is it too much?
No.
Like, do you want to see him expand into more characters? Like, are you just a junkie on this stuff right now?
Yeah.
What about, I don't know, I feel like it's too much. What do you think, David?
I don't think it's too much. I would like to see it broaden out into more than just these 4 characters, though. Like, I want to see more. Like, I wouldn't mind. I know they're coming out with a movie, but I wouldn't mind a Black Widow Netflix series.
I think
Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Here's one thing. Like, you know, all the movies that have been, you know, supposedly coming out, like the Widow one and stuff. I think they'd be so much better off on Netflix. Like,
100%.
The amount of time they have to tell the stories and the production quality, like, my pocketbook would rather do a blockbuster film, but, like, as an actor or a storyteller, like, I want my favorite characters on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a 100%. Century movie or something like that would be, it would suck, but if you could do it on Netflix and actually tell his story, beautiful.
And it'd be awesome. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that my other big gripe with them is that I just want to see them integrated into the MCU more.
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue is they mention things here and there, but I'm like, come on, okay, if Daredevil Season 3 does not incorporate Thanos, like, what happened in Infinity War?
Well, I mean, they never really talk about it, like, make a big deal about it. They just kind of... mention things. Like, they refer to the incident a few times.
Yeah, but that's my thing, though. That's my issue, is, like, why is it not more prevalent? But
You know what? That's a really good point. That's a really fucking good point, because I've been watching Leftovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, like, one rapture thing that happens, kills, like, 13% of the population, and then it fucked the world up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the church, like, was, like, lost faith in everything.
Yeah.
Like, so you would think in these Marvel movies, there should be a huge existential crisis.
Yeah.
People are like, fuck, like, aliens are real. Like, yeah. God is fake. Ah!
Let's focus on this for a second.
You know?
Like, at that point, it's such a part of their lives. They're like, well, we just live in this world. Oh, we got attacked by aliens. It happened. Like,
we know people. And that's not how people work.
Yeah.
Like, they want to clap. Yeah. Like if there's a literal god from Asgard coming to their town, like... 60% of all the world is going to start praying to him.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to pray to the god of thunder to bring the lightning. You know, yeah, we're all Norse again.
Yeah.
Yeah, what religion are you? I'm Norse now.
I'm Norse, yeah.
I used to be Christian, but now I'm Norse.
But now I'm Norse.
I'm in this Norse rock band. It's really cool.
We all wear red capes and have long blonde hair.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing, though, is, like, we don't really know the timeline. So Iron Fist is about to come out. We don't know if that's going to be... pre or post snap. We don't know if Daredevil is going to be pre or post snap. So that'll be interesting. I'm generally okay with how they integrate it, where they just talk around it, but they don't make a huge deal out of it.
But why?
I don't know, because I feel like it would be a huge deal, but people still have daily lives. Like, people still go to work. They got to get up, do their 9 to 5. They're like, yeah, we got attacked by aliens, but I still got to go to fucking work.
You know, I'm going
to work twice as hard because half the people are gone.
Exactly.
I'm going to be completely honest. If what happened in Avengers 1 happened in real life, I'm taking a couple days off work. I'm in California.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my bunker together. Like,
oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, you're wondering, like, everybody, if Marvel was real, everybody should be living in constant fear.
Oh, fair. And you Wait, never go to New York.
Why would you live in constant fear when you got some dope Avengers like protecting the Earth?
Because they're there, but they usually show up either as shit is hitting the fan or just as shit hits the fan and shit still hits the fan.
Yeah.
They just kind of minimize it.
You know, right in the first panel where the dude comes in from space and knocks out an entire fucking building?
Yeah.
I don't want to be the guy in that building. Like, one
Well,
of
yeah. No one does. But I mean, honestly, like it's like earthquakes, for example. Like, no one wants to be in an earthquake, but there's people that are closer to it. There's people that are farther away. Like, when it hits, and you kind of just got to deal with it. Like, when things happen, things always just happen. Like, unless we're going to, like, the whole, you know, preemptive and, you know, like, oh, yeah, but catch someone before they do something. But
yeah,
we don't have that. Yeah, like Civil War 2, you know, when they're like predicting events.
Oh, yeah.
That whole debacle.
Well, and there's like, I mean, there's people that live in areas that are known to have natural disasters constantly.
Yeah.
And they still do. So I'd be like, whenever you're talking about, like, I wouldn't live in New York, because I'm like, people live in Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
It's literally like their area is called Tornado Alley and they continue to live there.
Yep. Hurricane states. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Every year.
I don't know, but some of the shit that's happened in Marvel is a little bit more extreme. Like, didn't they lift an entire city up into the sky for a while when Asgard
Sokovia,
came to Earth?
Yeah, a country.
But how do you get away from that, though? Because Sokovia, you're like, we're this little tiny town. Nobody's going
to
come for us.
But that's the point of, like I wouldn't want to go to New York. Yeah, this Tornado Alley, but a giant-ass portal opening up over New York where giant space monsters
I'm rethinking some
out.
Shit if
you know
that
what?
Happens.
This actually, this makes me think that I wonder if that helped or hurt rent prices in New York from all the people leaving, moving out.
I would be interested to see.
I bet rent in New York
economical.
Got a little bit more manageable after that. And it's going to get even better after the snap. Let's be honest.
Oh, you already know.
Let's be honest. Rent in New York is suddenly affordable.
It's supply
hey,
and demand.
So Thanos is right. Right after all.
Damn. Let's tiptoe around that.
Said the rent is too damn high. And then,
now
we're fine.
Yep.
Yeah, now we're
Thank
fine.
Thank you, Thanos.
It's called supply and demand, everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
I want to see a show really take a glimpse at that. Like, remember Powerless came out?
I was going to say, there was that show that tried to do that.
Yeah, no, but it did it, like, as if they were comic book characters. I want to see a real life.
Well, they were about to do Damage Control. It was on the list, like, from
the
comics.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
the guys who clean
up. Crew.
Yeah.
But they ended up just only integrating it into Spider-Man Homecoming.
Barely.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, well enough. They said the name a few times, but
I don't
know.
Enough to make it just a backstory.
Yeah. Like,
I mean,
Damage Control.
Season 1, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was kind of like that. They were kind of doing Damage Control with a couple different things.
Yeah.
And mentioned events that was happening. See, that's the thing, though, is like, say what you will about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but what happens in the MCU is directly reflected in that, in the show.
It is. With the exception of last season, because...
With the exception of that.
They found out that the snap was going to happen, like, really late because they can't let everybody know. And that's the other thing. Like, they're trying not to have, like, things leak out, so they're not telling certain parts of production. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I think it's a pretty known fact that, like, the movie division and the TV division are fractured. From what I understood, Kevin Feige never ever wanted the TV shows to happen. And it was a combination of Joss Whedon, and then there's one other exec, and they wanted to push the TV show. So once they got Joss on, that's when they did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And all the stuff came after. But he never ever, I mean, think about it. He already has to weave together 22 movies.
Yeah.
And then he has to do what? Another 23 episodes
season? Each season? Yeah. Well, no, I read an interview with Joss Whedon back from like season 1 of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Feige was like, look, you do whatever you want this season. Just know in Winter Soldier, we're killing S.H.I.E.L.D. So figure out how to incorporate that into the show. Everything else is up to you.
Dude, that would suck to have to manage all the ideas
that you came
up with. Yeah. You gotta rewrite or rearrange like a bunch of stuff. What is cool is that they were, and I think this has more to do with like the actors just trying to keep their faces out there, but they were able to pull some people from the movies like Sif, and you know, and then there was that episode where Fury was on there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's tough, man. It's real tough.
It's tough on these streets, man.
It
I'm
is.
Just really excited for Daredevil season 3. I really need it to be better than season 2.
Me too.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think there's...
I want Elektra to just be gone. And I know she's not, but just get rid of her.
It would be she was horrible.
She was so bad. And then you watch The Defenders and it's entirely about her. I'm like, please just let it be over.
Just get away
and
from
then
her.
They, spoiler alert, kill her at the end of Defenders. And it's still not going to be over. No. And I'm just like, get rid of her. She's terrible.
Was she a Skrull the whole time? I'm still waiting for him to drop that gem.
Yeah, because Skrull were supposed to be in the MCU at some point, right?
I thought so. I thought it was supposed to be in one of the TV shows, though.
Captain Marvel,
they're going to introduce him more. Yeah, because of the because, you know, the original Captain Marvel is Kree. And the Kree and the Skrull are like the Bloods and the Crypts of Marvel space.
Damn, that's accurate.
Yeah, so,
only the facts.
So if the Kree are blue, then the Skrull must be red.
There you go.
Power deduction.
Or they're green. Yeah, man. So we're gonna see, but they will be bringing them in. So at that point, it's really anything goes. Super Skrull.
I don't know if we talked about because we're talking about Daredevil now, but I don't know. Did we ever even talk about Iron Fist season 2?
I don't think so.
No. Well, it's coming out next month.
Next month.
Really?
It's actually coming out. Yeah, it comes out September 7th?
Okay.
I believe you are.
Yep, I mean, you've been right so far.
I won't question it.
Yeah, so Iron Fist season 2. So we're like all hype on Daredevil season 3. Like, wait, there's one before it that we never talked about.
Yeah.
I think which by design, though.
Unpopular opinion. I'm actually excited for it.
Me too.
Just because... I think I've heard your argument on this, but I will let you say it because I think it's nonsense.
Wow.
Here we go.
No, so my whole thing with Iron Fist is that it was not good, and I think we all agree on that.
Yep.
And then the Defenders came out, and everybody was all sorts of upset because they didn't change Iron Fist at all. They're like, it's the same. They didn't fix anything. They didn't hear anything that people said. Mm-hmm. And my whole issue with that was like, they couldn't.
By the time Iron Fist came out,
and they got all that criticism, Defenders was in production. It was written. It was going. They couldn't do shit about it.
Nope.
But Luke Cage season 2 was our first look at Iron Fist. After they got all of that, they got rid of the showrunner. They got new writers. And I liked him.
I liked what they did with him. Yeah, it was hilarious. All the like little bong jokes and all that stuff. Yeah.
And so I'm excited to see what they'll do with him in a season 2, having known what hit the fan last time.
So this is one of the rare instances where you are seeing the better in people. Because I feel like we have a trend of having stories... And you want to see the negative and that there's no redemption and things like that.
Maybe.
I'm talking about like James Gunn, for example. Maybe. And then now we're coming into a point where they did an atrocity, which was season 1 of that show.
Real bad.
And then you are ready to forgive them in hopes that they have learned from their mistakes.
Hold on, but did you see Iron Fist in Luke Cage season 2 yet, Corey?
No, I didn't watch that.
It was solid.
Even if you just watched that episode, it's worth just watching.
It's a small dose of what I think we can expect. From season 2 of Iron Fist. And absolutely. You know what? Colleen's there.
Yeah.
And that's all I need in
and
my
Misty's
life.
And Misty's going to be in it. And so Misty. We're going to get Daughters of the Dragon.
The show's not the adventures of Colleen and Misty. Like,
it was.
It's Iron Fist.
It's going to be a little bit more
think.
This time.
What,
no,
what
but
think.
That's my point, though. Is the show's Iron Fist. So it should be like we're excited to see that character. And these characters are really good. Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think Colleen and Misty were great, and especially Colleen in season 1 of Iron Fist.
Yeah, she kept things going.
She's why the show kept going.
Yeah.
That girl and her eyebrows, oof.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought, too. Screw the martial arts. Those eyebrows.
Those eyebrows, though.
They got me every time.
But, point being is, like, we shouldn't be like, oh, yeah, I'm super excited to see Colleen and Misty again. Oh, yeah, and Iron Fist is in the show, too.
True. Hey, I mean, everything that I saw from what they did with them was on point. You know, they made him. I mean, part of the reason why we like or why people like, you know, Iron Fist in the comics now is a few things. One, because of, you know, they brought more satire in and he was more of a funny character. More he wasn't the you know, wimpy and crying and all that stuff guy. That's not why people liked him. If that was in the comics, no one would even want to make a show out of him.
Right. No,
he started off as a not so great thing. That was going on at the time, and then they transitioned him into basically a meme of himself. So he's making fun of himself. He's self-aware. He's basically like almost like take this with a grain of salt, but it's like Deadpool, but like only kung fu. Like he makes fun of himself. He is his own joke. And then as things progressed, they like I think they oh not to mention Matt Fraction's storyline, which where it's super serious and it introduces like all of the heavenly cities and different things like that and all the different immortal weapons from each city. And that was really good story writing. So if they take those two things, and I think they got cues and they put them together, then it's going to equal something better. But I mean, how much worse could it be than season one, though, at the same time? Like, the only place to go is
the only one way to go.
One more thing. They did get the guy that did the martial arts fighting and the fight choreography for Black Panther. He did all the fight choreography
season.
I heard the fight choreography in the scene that they showed at Comic-Con was incredible.
Word, yeah. I heard some really good things about it. I heard, like, even the actors, usually, like, if things are too physical, you know, like, they're wanting to, keep, you know, protect their bodies. You know, they got the next game to do, but they were all super stoked about it. They were like, we had fun, we really enjoyed you know, this choreography, and they tried to use us as much as possible and really minimize our double our stunt doubles. So we'll see.
I mean, that was my biggest gripe about season one was the fight scenes.
It was horrible.
I mean, he's supposed to be like this like insane martial artist, the best in the world, and he just wasn't, number one.
Nah, he wasn't even Danielson.
No, he wasn't. Karate Kid could beat him. And number two,
Jaden Smith, Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Sweep the leg. Ooh, Jaden Smith.
Yeah, Jaden Smith.
Oh, that's a bad Karate Kid.
But the other part, too, was there were scenes where you could see him. He would do part of the choreography, and then it would almost be like he'd reset to neutral.
Yeah.
And then go back. I'm like, you don't do that.
You don't go back to home base. Okay?
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
So if you can choose one extra character and give them a Netflix series, someone, Kevin Feige, came up to you, Emma, and said, all right, you're calling the shots. I'm going to give you a 10-episode series on Netflix. Go.
Hawkeye and Kate Bishop.
Okay.
Nice.
They're the newer Hawkeye comics.
David.
Matt Fraction.
I was going to say Hawkeye and Widow. I want to see, like the past, like their past missions, and I want to see them go on
Budapest
missions.
Show.
Yeah, yeah, Budapest. I was what happened to Budapest? Right. Why do they remember it so differently?
And you know what? She would fit so well. Well, she could kind of integrate in there because Black Widow and Daredevil were, like, engaged for a while. They, like, lived together.
Oh, snap.
There you go.
So you just integrate her in there. And
there we go.
There you go.
Curtis.
Oh, Moon Knight. Easy.
Moon Knight.
Oh,
okay. Twitch chat agrees with you, so talk about it. What do you envision?
Dude, Moon. I mean, it's so easy. Mark Spector. I mean, he's got three distinct personalities. We can easily make it the Jeff Lemire run, who's writing your century
right now.
But he started off with him in the mental institution. Like, what the heck's wrong with this guy? Why is he even in there? And then he keeps having all these delusions, seeing Khonshu, you know, the Egyptian god that he got his powers from, and then like. People walk by and he doesn't see him anymore. Kind of like Legion-esque.
That's exactly what I was getting.
And then like the you know, the he talks to the people, you know, like I forgot what his driver's name is, but you know, he sees him in there and he's talking to him and he has these flashes and he says little things to him and he's like, "What?" It's just like all like, and then you never really know, like never resolve it, never answer it. Like, is he crazy? Is he having delusions or is this real? Just
that's
like
pretty
Jeff
cool.
Lemire. It'd be incredible.
I think I would go with an unorthodox one.
Okay.
I want Fantastic Four to be in Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be a movie. I don't want them to compress the story we've seen a billion times to get it. And I think Doctor Doom is very like capable of carrying multiple seasons of being a villain.
So do you see Doctor Doom as being the villain season one, or do you see season one ending and Doom becomes the villain? For
I think
season?
You got to introduce him, or maybe plant the seeds all through season one and make it like them discovering their powers and, you know, fighting the giant swamp monster or whatever, pick something random.
Start small and then they work the way up and all of a sudden it's like, what? He's the evil villain.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Are we doing the origin story?
Yeah. Because this is like a reboot.
We've seen it twice, though.
But Marvel's version.
Episode one is the origin story. And then from there on...
No, just do it right. I'd watch it again if it was done right.
Yeah.
Well, because I equate it to what they did with Spider-Man Homecoming, where, like, mm-hmm. they knew we already had two previous iterations, right. so they skipped over
right.
the Spider bite, Uncle Ben. They're like, you already know this. We're not going to show you. Yeah. Let's move on. And he has his powers. Boom. Let's go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd be down I don't with want them to do that. Or, I mean, they got a lot of episodes to film.
Or what if they run it parallel? Like, what if they start off from, like, a middle point, and as they're working forward, they kind of have flashbacks. And
as long as they can well. Learn to move away from it. Like, I thought Arrow
I was gonna say,
needed to move away from flashbacks.
Well, yeah. Yeah, bro. Oh I mean, they God. Did 10 like five. In. Yeah, I know. And then we're still doing the first
like,
5 years.
Like, break the fucking format. Got, yeah. We'll season, forgive you.
This past season, it got to the point where he was flashing back to season one.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was doing
no, they
flashbacks.
Did they really do
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Oh he my. Showed flashbacks, but going back because he had already gone through the island and Hong Kong and, like, all the shit that he did. They flashbacked to him in season one. I was just like, stop. Can we stop?
You have failed the city with my mascara over my eyes, protecting my identity.
That's one of those superhero things that I'm always like, you got 2 seconds to suit up and you put on makeup?
Yeah.
Every day I wake what? Up. And how is it if the detectives in that city can't just look at you and be like, Oliver Queen?
Right? Oliver there. Queen, you're the richest guy.
He would literally
in the
show up to the mayor's office the next day with, like, eyeliner smudged
yeah.
under his eyes.
Right? Yeah. Like, oh, Oliver, thanks for stopping by. Green Arrow was here last night, as you could see.
Yeah.
Oh, what? That's so weird.
Yeah. So weird. So weird.
Moving on in the news, something that caught my eye. I noticed that it's become front page news that parents are buying video game lessons for their children. I'm not surprised by this at all because when I first joined Energy, one of our sponsors was a group called Gamer Sensei.
Oh yeah, okay. I remember that.
Yeah, I did tons of videos and marketing for Gamer Sensei. They had a really cool system that compensates players who, you know, like have the time to do that. Like
yeah.
all the players, you know, they make depending on the game, they make yeah. random amounts of money. And they were able to charge, like, a very respectable amount to get one-on-one coaching because they're professionals. Like, they know what they're doing, and people actually did it. So I'm interested to see just kind of around the table what you guys think. Emma, have you had a chance to think about, like, gaming tutors?
I don't know. On the one hand, it's dumb. But on the other hand, people hire private coaches for their kids for all sorts of yep. shit, sports, mm-hmm. music, and it's always with the idea that, like, this will help them later on in life. And, like, one of the parents that the Wall Street Journal article was talking about was, like, you know, his kid earning tournament money or scholarships. I don't know where he's getting scholarships from.
Scholarships. Colleges offer scholarships to esports now. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. So it's that sort of thing. Like, it sounds dumb, but, like, so did everything else at the time. Like, I am sure when sports first started becoming a thing that you could pay for your life with, you know, that right. same thing happened then. I do wonder if it's really something that's becoming a trend or if this is one of those where, like, they found a few select instances of parents doing this for their children and then kind of blew it up into this new thing.
I think, like, regardless, that those companies like Gamer Sensei are probably just stoked.
Yeah,
because now
a
lot of people are figuring out that it's a thing. And so while you're going to get the Colin Cowherds or the, you know, talking heads saying how terrible it is, on the inverse of that, you're going to have those people who are super supportive of their kids and didn't know that this was even a service and might go seeking it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think, Curtis? Would you ever get tutoring? Your daughters come home and they look you in the eye and they say, Daddy, I really want to be a Smash God.
Be like, baby, that's why I'm your dad.
then they say, Dad, I saw your results from the last couple tournaments, and I need Nairo.
I mean, well, baby, that's why Daddy knows Corey. See, I got fixes. I mean, me, I'm not opposed to it, just because, like, not only you know, do parents do it. Like, my reaction was more just based off the fact I think that there's, like, people that have enough money to actually pay for this, and I'm like, I'm a single dad, 2 daughters, and I can't even afford that. So. But you know, good on them. Even professional athletes hire, like, trainers
yeah.
and coaches and different things like that. So. It's only news and new because esports and the fervor around it is still new in the scheme of, you know, in the scheme of sports as a whole and media creation and content creation. So that's it. But really, it's not a big deal.
David, are you paying for coaching?
Oh, one more thing. If it puts money in the pocket of some of the gamers and the streamers and stuff that I like, to me it's definitely a good thing then.
Yeah. Because
if it goes to support them, then I'm definitely with it.
For sure. I don't know. I mean, I've thought about it, that's for sure. But I think if I was going to do that, then it'd be something along the lines of like, I'm going to put money into this because this is something that I want to do. And I think it's kind of like any other sports. There's a peak, mm-hmm. and like a peak age, and I'm pretty sure I'm past the peak age. So if I was younger, then probably, yeah. Yeah.
Peak age is, I mean, like 13.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm way past the peak age.
See, if I'm in my prime, you know, 15 years old, then I'm going for
yeah.
it. But
no, yeah.
When I'm an old 29-year-old man, I'm out.
You mean like 24-year-old
yeah.
man. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. So, but it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Like, this was always going to be a thing at some point. I just took the I'm going to probably venture to say that this is probably a younger generation of parents that are the ones that are doing this.
A little more understanding.
A little more understanding, mm-hmm. yeah, that their kids are – this is a legit possibility.
Definitely.
So.
And like Emma said, there are like sponsorship – or scholarships.
Yeah, for sure.
People are scouting. I think like it's a little tougher of a sell than it is for getting little Timmy piano lessons because yeah. piano lessons are rare. Like, I don't know. I'd love to see the statistic. One in how many people can actually be a successful tutor on the piano.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, you can just – matchmaking is a hell of a thing. Like, you can kind of just naturally get better if you grind matchmaking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I can't see – I think it's tougher. I think there's just too many people who are good enough at the game than, like – you know, maybe a very wealthy kid who right. has no friends
right.
can maybe See? Go to his mom and be like, Mommy, yeah. you know, I don't have a local FGC to play with, you know.
Mommy,
can you please hire me, Jay Wong? You know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I want him now.
But Mommy, I want him now. Yeah.
Veruca Salt. She's getting them Fortnite lessons.
Yeah. I mean, that's
Ninja.
Yeah. I want a ninja at my birthday party. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's probably that's probably the biggest pull out of it. I'm sure there are the people that are like, oh, my child has an actual passion for this. I'd like to get behind it and, you know, and support him in this way. But a large majority of it probably really is like, he won't go outside. He won't talk to me, or she won't go outside. She won't talk to me. They won't talk to other people. Like, but they play this game. Let me bring them a person that can play this game and make them better. And then hopefully yeah. that opens them up more. Cause that's another thing too. Like, if you do play the game and you just get bodied all the time, like, I don't know. I can imagine like kids being like, dang, I don't really even want to talk to anybody. I'm just the kid that gets bodied all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe it kind of helps them be more social. I don't know. I'm trying to think like those parents might be thinking.
That. I don't know.
This is not how I'm trying. I'm yeah. trying to be empathetic. That's all I can imagine.
Have you ever had lessons for anything, Emma? Like, have you ever received lessons?
I mean, I was in band for 6 years. What up, band geeks?
Hey.
I mean, that's a little different.
What about personal lessons?
Yeah,
though?
I mean, like lessons. Did your
private
parents?
Lessons? Private lessons? No.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I grew up in North Highlands. I did not get private lessons.
Yeah. I mean, I know people in the struggle who, like, make it a priority to get lessons. Like, I gave drum lessons for a little while. You know,
yeah.
it was mm-hmm. And it was for, like, dirt cheap. I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing right. it, you know, just... For the
love.
For the good feeling
yeah.
you get when you help someone.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, there's people who make it work, but it is more of like a upper class thing.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I'll
yeah,
pay 100%. Someone to come to my house and teach, you know, Bartholomew to play the drums.
Oh, yeah.
David, did you ever get private lessons?
I did. I got guitar lessons.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, they didn't come to my house. I went to a place.
Skips?
But yeah. Well, no, it wasn't Skips. It was down on Greenback.
Hey,
Skips. I would go to Skips to get like
strings and stuff.
Yeah. yeah, but I went to.
I know the place you're talking about, right there next to the buffet, right?
Right next
in the same
yeah.
parking lot as like a hometown buffet,
like
or something.
Across from like Toys R Us.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went okay. there. I didn't go there to take lessons, but they were also a music shop.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
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 Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So I went there and took guitar lessons.
How long and was it useful?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. No, because I can't play guitar right now. and I think it was probably like maybe a year or so. It was just something that I just like, I never
wait a full year and you can't like noodle around.
It may have been less, to be honest. Okay. I was a kid, so like, you know, 3 months was like a year to me.
Gotcha. Curtis, you ever have lessons?
Yeah. I took a private piano lessons Yeah, shoot. How old was I? I was probably like 14, between 14 and 16. So I was a little older when I took them. Yeah, they helped me. I could still do my major scales. I could still do two different minor scales. I could still 1-4-5 and everything and invert. Still play seventh chords. I play more guitar, but I can, and I could still learn songs like fairly quickly.
Was it, you know? Was it tough? Was it a tough thing to do? Or like,
No. I took to it pretty easy. But I mean, I had been, you know, doing music since I was at least like 6-7, like trumpet, trombone, and stuff like that. Like I would lead worship at church and stuff. Yeah. So I was pretty familiar with it, but no, I picked up on it pretty quick and it stuck with me. But I've you know, been producing music since then, so I was always on the keys in mm-hmm. some way.
So what do you think about, like, okay, I feel like even as someone who loves music and games, mm-hmm. I feel like the music side is more applicable like to life and would yeah. be something worth I'd send my kid to do. But
well, yeah.
Do you see the same value in gaming, or is it even up to us to decide?
I think that's definitely going to be a case-by-case basis. Gaming is so new. We're only still just, like, discovering, like, what it could be to us. Like, we know what it is to us right now, but, like, you know, we're starting to see it could pay our bills. It could, you know, it right. could bridge gaps and, you know, and different things like that. I mean, me, I would anything that has a technique, there's an art to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So there's an art to gaming, just like there's an art to music. Music is an art. But I think right now, if we're looking at it, I think there's more people playing games. Like we can probably find more people who game than mm-hmm. we can find people who play instruments.
100%.
Yeah.
Right?
No, well, the barrier to entry is much lower.
Much lower. Absolutely. So with that said, I mean, your money might go farther with it as far as, like, if we're talking, like, community wise,
yeah,
you
know, like social skills, maybe
social skills, okay. even, yeah,
social skills. I could see you justifying it. Teaches hand eye coordination,
yeah,
problem solving, quick yep. thinking,
absolutely.
Depending on what game it is, teamwork,
yeah,
communication,
teamwork, yeah.
like there's all these things that you could justify,
yeah,
you know, paying to have somebody come and teach your kid to play video games for them to go into it professionally, or even for them to pay, you know, like, you look at, you know, Timmy and you go, you know, I love you, kid, but you're not going to play football and get into
right.
yeah. get into college yeah. from football.
Right.
Yeah.
This is something that you're actually good at. Let's make this happen so you can go to college.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, and you had just mentioned, like, thinking music is more applicable as far as private lessons than something like gaming, and I think what that made me think about is the fact that, like, these kids, like, in particular in this article, are getting Fortnite lessons. They're getting lessons in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Who knows how long Fortnite's going to be around? Like, true. If they're...
Oh,
who
true.
Knows if Fortnite's going to be around when they get to scholarship age? But the piano
yeah.
is always going to be the piano. Everybody... True. Like, it's always part of music. The guitar is always going to be part of music. You're not worried that, like, man, in 3 years, are people still going to care about the guitar?
they're going to move to the keytar.
Yeah, well, you know what's crazy about that? Look at the trouble that Gibson guitars is in right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're about to go out. People aren't buying them as much because people are making more computer music. All these trap beats.
Yeah,
technology
right.
really is affecting a lot of things. But I will say the staying power overall, even though it's minimizing, games are going to change over fast mm-hmm. than instrumentation is.
And there's like there's definitely a base skill set for gaming, mm-hmm. but your skills in Fortnite are not going to necessarily apply to Overwatch, you know, if
true.
that or whatever the yeah. next big game is. You're yeah. like, man, I'm a fucking champion in Fortnite,
right.
but I can't play this game that just came out for shit.
What's going to be crazy, though, is because they are going to increase your mechanics. Like, aiming is aiming, right?
Yeah.
So if you
right.
can aim good, that's why a lot of the pros can move around. Like, Bird and Kefri were, like, pros, semi-pro in Overwatch. So yeah. when Fortnite right. came out, they have a hell of an advantage because they know how to put that cursor
right.
wherever they need to on
right
the screen.
On
exactly.
doesn't
yeah.
fucking matter what the objective is. They can put that cursor on your face and blow
yeah.
it up.
And right. blow it up.
But, you know, in the real world, they're going to be opening files like a motherfucker when they get to their first job.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got to go through and real delete talk. Shit. And
yeah.
they're going to be inputting that data.
Copy and pasting like a
holy
mother.
Holy
yeah.
crap. Yeah.
yeah it's right. the, what was his job in Office Space? Going in and changing the decimal. They
yeah.
could do that like lightning.
Oh, dude. It's over.
And thousands and
yeah.
thousands and thousands of lines of code.
Oh, man. We are in the golden age. Last thing to talk about that's pretty big out there in the gaming world is Evo. So Evo is like the largest fighting game tournament in the world. It takes place in Vegas. It's been going on this weekend. And Curtis, you've been keeping track of it. What have you thought so far?
Man, I've mostly been paying attention to the Smash 4 side. And it's, well, a few things. One, we don't get a Sunday again. So Smash 4, I'm really hoping Ultimate does something to bring more Smash 4 players like over so they can get more exposure, because Sunday's the big day. So for these guys, they put in work just like everybody else puts in work, man. So for them to not get a Sunday and get that recognition, that's still something that I kind of, that's tough for me to get over as far as Evo.
Yeah.
But then other than that, like, man, like the bracket got shaken up real bad. Like so many of our like the people that I look forward to being in there, like, didn't even make it to top eight, or didn't even, you know, make it into, like, yeah, like Nairo's out.
We were watching it here, like, before the stream, and when we saw who was in top eight, it was flabbergasting.
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. No MKLeo, but no there MKLeo. Was Lima.
Right, like, Lima made it.
When have you ever seen Lima in a top eight but not MKLeo? Like, it does not happen very often.
That's crazy. It's crazy. MVD made it out, which was, I mean, shout out to MVD for making it out, but
he's a mainstay, like the sweetest dude.
Yeah, super nice guy. I mean, you know, and he kind of outplayed himself, you know, from where he normally ends up in tournament brackets. So shout out to him. But I mean,
wait, I just see the results. Did you see who won?
I did not see who won.
Lima.
Lima won.
Lima
Evo?
Won Evo.
And it's a Bayonetta player.
Yeah.
Did he take it with Bayo?
Yeah, he took it with Bayo. The finals was a Bayo versus Bayo Ditto.
So Bayo closes out the chapter of Smash 4.
So you guys look very confused. Yeah, this seems very confusing for Emma and David, and I'm sure the people listening at home. But there's a guy named Lima, all right?
Okay.
He's a great player, but he's like forever in the shadow of his cousin, MKLeo, who's like a god. He's like ranked one or two on the PGR.
Yeah, MKLeo's incredible.
Lima's his cousin. They do doubles together, and they're usually really good. They have good synergy. But Lima, I'd never seen win a major. And he just won the biggest tournament of the year. But the thing is, like, this is the last major event, fight FGC event, I think, before Smash Ultimate comes out, and a lot of the players start swapping over.
Yeah.
And the biggest meme in the Smash 4 community is how overpowered the character Bayonetta is.
Okay.
So it's just perfectly fitting that it's a Bayo Ditto in Grand Finals, and Lehman's was, it's kind of tarnished. Like, yeah, he got the win, but it's a Bayo, man.
Yeah. Oh, it's like like a asterisk. In baseball.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Like the most OP character that like majority of the people hated and was trying to get banned, like would finally. And Bayo had won like a few tournaments here and there. Bayo wasn't super dominant in tournaments, but for it to literally be a Bayo Ditto as the last match, a grand finals for Evo, Smash 4 before Ultimate comes out, it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
I hope they do something about it in Smash 4.
I was hoping Zach would win. I was really hoping Zach would win.
Cap Zach, yeah.
I like him.
I mean, if anybody, Cap Zach, right? At least he's entertaining. He's going to pop off. He's going to do the Bayonetta
taunt. Oh, can you imagine the pop off if he would have won?
But he might have actually got out, like, he might have thrown on some heels and did the heel.
Oh, yeah, he would have.
Handstand.
Yeah, he does, like, all the movements of all the characters. Man, woman, or animal. Like, he can do them perfectly.
Yeah.
So the Bayonetta, all of them, he does them. So he stands up and he's fierce.
Yep, and he does the spin, everything. Yeah. We got to show Emma some Cap Zach pop offs.
They're amazing.
Yeah, they are pretty amazing.
Yeah. So I was really hoping he'd take it, but he got second place. He got some money in his pocket. Lima, congratulations. Dragon Ball Z, man, insane. Oh, the top eight's tomorrow, but you know we've been promoting the show Hooked, and Hook Gang God went out like in top 32 or something. Mm. He's out, and the guy who put him out was our other player, Super Noon.
Yeah.
Who's was playing out of his
mind.
Do you
think that's better or worse?
Better.
Yeah?
Better.
At least it was a friend.
Well, because he's got Sony Crackle cameras following him around. So, like, the storyline is going to be intense to make a great, you know. This is capturing FGC, I think, perfectly.
Okay.
This is a story I would like to see told. So you see the drama that goes into it and why people care.
Yeah.
These guys have been boys. They've been training, you know, together to get here.
Right.
Hook Gang God, you know, was... He won the Summit of Power. He's the man, and he dropped early, just was having some bad sets. And if anyone's going to put you out, I guess you want it to be your boy, right?
Right, yeah.
One of you guys gets to come up, and he gets to take that energy and move it forward.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally, because even in the last match, Super Noon demolished the dude who sent Hook Gang God his first loss in the loser's bracket.
Yeah.
So his top eight biggest moment was against the dude who put his boy down.
So it was like a vengeance.
And when he popped off, he actually started crying.
Yeah.
He got up and just started fucking going ham, and the cameras and his friends came up and he hit his knees and started crying.
You could see too, he was shocked. Like, he first got up and he was like basically on the verge of popping off.
Yeah.
And everybody started rushing him, and I think you could literally see when he realized what he just did.
What happened?
And he just went in and popped off, man. It was super
emotional.
Cool. It was dope.
Yeah. The casters started choking up. Like, it was
it was an incredible moment.
And I think I saw Sony Crackle cameras capturing all of it. So
that's good.
When that episode 4 of Hooked comes out, it's going to be I work for the org, and I want to see all the conversations.
Yeah.
I know everything from my sources over there. I got 5 coworkers there right now who are keeping me up to date.
Yeah.
But there's no way you can get that full story
until
it actually comes out next week.
For sure.
So in a way, I think we're building a better story. If Super Noon wins this thing, holy shit. They're going to have to change the name of the show.
It'll be Season 2, Super Noon.
Nooned.
Yeah. Nooned.
So that's a huge story to watch tomorrow, guys. If you are a fan of fighting games, all the top eights for the major ones are tomorrow. Your Street Fighter Vs, your Dragon Ball FighterZ. What else is tomorrow?
Is Dead or Alive tomorrow?
No. I don't even know if they played it. I'm sorry, Emma. I'm so sorry.
Damn it.
Oh,
they've been tweeting
man.
About it. They're there.
Yeah, maybe in spirit. Thank you guys all for watching the show. I think this was a great episode. I'm so sorry for those watching it live that it was so late. It was my fault for making Emma get out of bed to come over here, and then we got this brand new technology set up. So if you guys have seen all the new transitions, and I'm using this little Stream Deck, look, I can go to Emma Cam right now. Look at that, there she is.
Hey.
If you're watching on Twitch, you're getting a look at Emma in her natural state. Oh, look at that.
She woke up like this.
She woke up like this. I refuse to believe you're not wearing any makeup.
No, I have a concealer and I have eyeshadow.
I was going to say, you're the most blessed human being because...
No, my skin doesn't look like this.
Okay.
This was like, I was in my car and like driving. I was like, I can do this without looking. I'm like, I know what spots that I need to hit here.
Wait, looking at the makeup or looking at the road?
Looking at the makeup.
Okay.
Oh my God, be safe. Please be safe.
Watch the road, guys. Don't do your makeup in your car. Don't do mascara in your car.
Tesla.
I've learned that lesson the hard way. You will stab yourself right in the eyeball.
Yeah.
Right
the providing Emma makes it home safe and doesn't like do makeup or anything, what is your stream schedule this week so everyone can check you out?
I got to start making it on Saturday so that I have something
you do,
to say.
Because you just...
I make it on Sunday.
You're going to have to change them schedules up. Give us rough times.
What day is it? It's the 4th. So Friday, I believe, is the day that We Happy Few comes out. We Happy Few comes out on the 9th. I will be playing that. I believe I will have more creative streams this week, working on my new August cosplay. And I believe I might be doing a cosplay makeup stream this week. We'll see.
Ooh. David, what's your schedule this week?
I'll be streaming on Monday. Probably Warframe. So we're going to check that out. I'm going to try it on PC, on my new Shadow PC.
That Shadow PC, though.
And then Tuesday, maybe a Minecraft stream. Well, I kind of blame Emma and Aaron for that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of addicted.
No shame in that.
And then Friday, I'll be back with a mystery stream.
Ooh. All right.
You just don't have a stream for that day, do you?
Yeah, you just
nope. It's a mystery stream. It's 100% planned.
Not even he knows.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's going to be.
Curtis, what's your schedule looking like?
Oh, man. It's rough because I haven't been feeling all that great. Haven't had a lot of energy. But expect by Wednesday to finally have that Avengers Infinity War commentary stream. So I'm just going to say I'm going to push it out to Wednesday, give you boys some time to rest up, store up some energy. And then other than that, I'm going to be doing a bunch of mysteries. Probably some retro games. I'm just going to try to take it light and easy. If any Kings news comes out, you can expect to hear about that. But other than that, I'm just going to be up in here hanging with these people.
All right. If you're listening to the show and you like it here in the Twitch chat, I implore you to check out the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or Stitcher or the Google Play Store. This podcast is a legitimate podcast, boys and girls. We do it live here on Twitch just for you guys. And if you'll notice, sometimes we don't get around to all the comments, but that's because it's entertaining for the podcast people. So give that a listen. And then vice versa. If you listen already on iTunes, go ahead and check us out on twitch.tv/videogame_bang on Wednesday evenings and Saturday evenings. If you want to interact with us live, see our faces as we're talking, you're missing out if you're not looking at our faces. I mean, we are one of those blessed shows where the panel is all very good looking people. We have Emma and Ivy Doom Kitty. I mean, what else do you need? That's it. And then while you're there, give it 5 stars because those ratings help more people find the podcast. And the more people that find the podcast, the more budget we get and the more zany, wacky hijinks we can get into just for you guys. So please rate the show 5 stars. You can give us a subscription on patreon.com or you can do that on our Twitch. Shout out to the sponsors one more time. Shadow for the free PCs. Who else we got? Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Gamer Subs GG and Energy Vast? Esports. Vast!
And Vast!
Oh, my boys at Vast! Show them some love, please. But that's it. Go home. All right? Bye. See ya. Peace. I didn't time this well.
Yep. It's still here.
Yep, we're still here.
Really awkward.
Get yep, here we go. Fuck out.
Ooh.
Wow. That got aggressive.
Really got aggressive.
And then come back next time.